I welcome you each here this night. Happy that you've taken the opportunity to come and to hear the word preached. As I stand here behind the pulpit, I make a great observation that my brother here is a man of much greater faith than I am. I can see that he's going to depend solely on his technology to get him through this sermon. And I'm sorry, maybe it's just my old age, but I just can't do that. I would at least have a backup sermon sitting here, but I always see his laptop and his cell phone, and he plans to buzz through his sermon like that, so he's showing great faith, and I wish him good luck. And I ask that you give him your attention as he prepares a 26-page presentation for us. But don't let that scare you. But give him your attention, our brother Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Brian. As Brian was getting out the oil from the pulpit, I kind of had my heart drop because he opened the door and all I see is the wire hanging by, and I'm like, oh, there goes my sermon onto the floor and the iPad will break and it's over, because as he said, I did put all my faith and my trust in this time, so I'm curious to see what becomes of it. So please bear with me. I put a little bit of time into this one, so I'm kind of excited about it. But I do like to first greet each and every one of you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those that are live streaming high out there, I welcome you. And I'm excited to be here. I'm excited because it's something that I do appreciate that the Lord called me to do this and to give my testimony and my part and what the Lord has done for me in my life and how that can have an effect on others. But I think the last time that Brother Brian introduced me, it was in Colorado, and I was scared stiff, and I didn't know how to approach the sermon because it seemed like I was completely out of touch with who I was preaching to and what I had to preach about. And it was the funniest thing because I still laugh about it this day because he said, just let it rip, give it all you got and see what happens. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do that. And, you know, it was a good learning experience. It was, I hope that people got something out of it. And I thought that I put my heart and my soul into it. And I wasn't doing it by no means to glorify myself, but to glorify the Lord. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and begin here. So I did some stuff here, and I'm going to see if it works. How about them apples? Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stay down here, and I'm going to actually put my trust in my little device right here. And really, I wanted to come, and I wanted to give this presentation to each and every one of you because, you know, we just entered into a new year, and there's going to be a lot going on. And there's always a lot going on, and there's always things that we run into and problems that we run into. But one of the things I really wanted to bring to the audience, to the brothers and sisters, to my brothers and sisters, was that coming into this new year, we need to look forward with an eye of faith. There's many obstacles, there's many things that we have and that is going to challenge us in this year to come, but we need to know and we need to understand that when we have God with us and we look forward with that eye of faith, how we can overcome those things, how we can accomplish those things that the Lord puts in front of us. So it is a 26-slide presentation, but I think it's going to go pretty quick, so let's go ahead and see if it works. And it's going to work. So I wanted to start off here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I wanted to read this verse. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we don't know what the Lord has in store for us. And when I look back at 2015 and how fast time goes by, how many changes people have had in their lives, how many things that they were encountering along those 12 months in their life. And it's so profound how the Lord can take things and put them into our lives to help us draw ourselves closer to him. How he puts those things in our lives to help us establish our faith in him, to give us that strength that we need to be able to overcome the issues, the problems, the spiritual problems, the burdens, the tribulations, the temptations, how he puts us into those, how we put ourselves into those situations, and how he gives us the strength to be able to overcome those. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says here, look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And those are the things I wanted to bring here tonight, is to be able to focus on those things that aren't temporal. And when we go into this new year, how there are so many important things in our lives that we're going to have, that we're going to have to overcome, that are worldly things. And how, when we focus on those things that the Lord has for us, overcoming those worldly things really won't be a problem. But we're all going to have kind of difficulties and tribulations and trials that we need to rely upon the Lord for. And He's going to be there for us. He wants us to look at those things that He has for us that are not of the world, but are from Him, that we can have to be able to work with, to draw ourselves closer to Him, to be able to learn and to understand His ways, His commandments, what He wants for us, how He wants us to be, how He wants us to act, how He wants us to be able to be a light to others that are around us, to help share that gospel, to help share that work. So as our brother Brian was preaching this morning, so we can understand what it takes to be able to receive that eternal salvation and to spend eternity with Him in His kingdom. And that's important for us, that as we go into this year, we don't think about the bills that we have to pay. We do have to think about that, but I just want to stress that when we do have to think about those things, our finances, our schooling, our life situation, our relationships, our troubles, our struggles that we have. We have struggles, whether it's alcohol or tobacco, whether it's our language, whatever those things that bind us down, that we have a difficulty from pulling ourselves away with, that get us closer to God. We have to look at those things and look at those eternal things that the Lord has for us and work towards that goal, looking forward with that eye of faith. So it says here in Matthew chapter 6, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If that eye be single, I looked that up in Strong's, and there's only two places where it references that, and this is one of them. And it means to be clear. We have to have a clear focus on those things that the Lord has for us. And how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? How do we see what the Lord has for us in our lives? Well, we get down on our knees and we pray about it. The more that we draw ourselves closer to the Lord, the more He's going to draw Himself closer to us. The more He's going to reveal to us those things that are important, those things that we need to do, to have an understanding, to get His wisdom, to get His knowledge, and to be able to incorporate that in our daily lives. That's why our eyes have to be clear. If we let our eyesight get clouded by those things of the world, those things that are around us, we're not going to be able to focus on that path that the Lord has for us in our lives. We're not going to be able to stay on that straight and narrow path. And it's important that we understand that to have a clear sight is by letting the Lord lead us, not the world, not those things that are out there, not our own personal desires, but the Lord's desire for us, that which He has for us. That will keep us on that straight and narrow path. That will keep us heading in the right direction. And it says in Isaiah chapter 5, oh, come on, there we go, chapter 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I look at that scripture and I think about those things that I want, those things that in life that are important to me. There's two sides of it. There's the things that are important to me from the carnal side, and there's the things that are important to me on the spiritual side. And I remember when our brother Brandon Tarbell was preaching a sermon about riding the fence and how we try to do that. And I really look at those things, and the way I want to be is on the Lord's side. I want to get away from those carnal things. Even though the grass may look greener on that side of the fence at times, we all know that the Lord's promises, that's where the green grass is. That's where the greener pastures are. That's where we put our faith and our trust, because we know that the Lord's promises do not change for all of His children. We know that no matter what happens, if we are on that spiritual path, that we're going to be able to overcome all those things that the world puts in front of us, those obstacles, those challenges. And it's important that we look at those things and not look at the things that the way the world looks at it. You know, the world thinks that, you know, just the opposite. The good things that are bad are good, and the bad things that should be good are bad. And we really need to understand that, you know, we're separating ourselves from that. What good is good in the eyes of the Lord? It's not bad. And what's bad is bad. And we need to understand that the Lord gives us all those details and all those instructions and how we should be and what we should do in the gospel. And we have that. We have that. We have to apply ourselves to learn and to understand, to ponder, to experiment. And that's one of the things that really we need to try to do. And that's one of the things that I wanted to challenge each and every one of us tonight in this new year. I wanted to challenge each and every one of us to be able to experiment with the Lord, to have Him give you those things in which you need to better yourself, to draw yourselves closer to Him. Experiment with Him. Pray for those things. It could be one little simple thing. It could be multiple problems that you have in your life. We all know that with the Lord in our lives, anything is possible. We can overcome anything as long as we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him. And that's what's important, is that we look with that eye of faith forward to a better life for ourselves, for our children, for our brothers and sisters, and we support one another in doing so. So I got a few things here I wanted to talk about. Things to expect in 2016. And I kind of looked at both sides of it. I wanted to give you the doom and gloom, but also what we look for in the gospel to be able to lift us up in those times of need. Because I think a lot of times when things start to get difficult, we really just kind of, I don't want to say feel bad for ourselves, but I know I do. I feel bad for myself, and I want to vent to everybody around me how miserable my life is at that time. But really, that's an opportunity for me. That's something that I pray for, is that I can take those times where things are really difficult for myself and be able to act accordingly as the Lord wants me to put my faith into Him and to trust Him and to express that in a way to where I stay focused and I follow through. And I think that's the important part, is following through with what the Lord puts on your heart, what you should do. Because once again, we turn back to the carnal way, what we want to do and how we want to vent. And I've struggled with that. You know, life is stressful, and I've struggled with that recently. And that's one of the things that I look to improve in my life, is that when things are really going south and things are getting difficult and I feel that I can't communicate, to stop, to take a couple breaths, say a prayer, and to think about those things that the Lord would have me say. How would Jesus approach this situation? You know, have Him give me that guidance and direction. Not thinking of what is frustrating me and how I can tune that out or shut that down or pronounce that to that person, but pronounce to that person a godly manner and show them the way that the Lord requires us to be and to have the strength in doing so. So the first thing, I'm going to throw it out there. In 2016, you could just answer out loud. What is the one thing that you would think is going to happen the most in 2016? Anybody? No, it was a good guess. I put change. Change is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen to every single one of us. We're all going to go through some sort of change. And my prayers, my thoughts, are that we go through change in a positive way. We rely upon the Lord for positive change. I look back at 2016, and I see a lot of people go through a lot of difficult times. You know, whether it was physically, whether it was spiritually. A lot of physical. There was a lot of physical challenges over this year. There were some spiritual challenges with some people that I have established relationships with and close family members of mine, too, that I thought I had a positive outlook on. And, you know, it's a difficult time that we just went through. There was a lot of stuff. But most of all of us are going to go through change. We're going to establish new lives sometimes with, we're going to We're going to have new relationships. We're going to be changing our schooling. We're going to be traveling. We're going to be having difficulties as we age. Everybody's going to go through some sort of change. It could be financially also. You know, we could go through financial struggles. But when we do that, we need to understand that there is a promise. And I'm going to read in the second book of Nephi, chapter 11, verse 145. For behold, I am God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. This is a promise of God, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we all know that. We all know that he does not change, and that we can rely upon him. You know, I can rely upon my wife. I can rely upon my brothers and sisters. But I know that God is always there. He's just a word away. All I have to do is speak it. If I'm humble, if I'm having a hard time, I have a contrite and broken spirit, the Lord's going to be there to answer those prayers. It might not be what I want. I might want to be on this side of the fence, but spiritually, he's going to give me that which I need to be able to overcome those things. And he's not going to change. He's not going to fall short. He's always going to be there to lift us up, to comfort us, no matter what. I see so many blessings that happen in this church, I couldn't even number them. And that's one of the things where I receive my strength from, is the testimonies and the thoughts and the comments and the statements and the fellowship with my brothers and sisters, and how all that is an integral part of the Lord's work. It's all for a reason. It's here for us to take advantage of and to not take for granted. It's something that we receive an opportunity to be able to share and to grow in those gospel ties and to draw ourselves closer to the Lord. And how neat that is, that we know that the Lord is always going to be there. He is a God of miracles. He still performs miracles. He still is there, and his ears are open to each and every one of us, and will always be. He will always be there for us. Now, with change, one of the things that is most common that goes along with change is, ta-da, fear. See, now I'm actually kind of getting excited because this is working good for me. Boy, it could be on the other side of the spectrum real quick here. So I should knock on some wood, but I'm not going to knock on my head in front of everybody. But fear, that goes along with change because we're doing something different that we haven't done before. And that is very difficult for some of us to do. It's very difficult to be able to go from one direction to another. And a lot of times when we have that kind of change, we have the fear that goes along with it because of the unexpected. We don't know what to expect, and that's the hard part. And that's the hard part that I had as becoming a minister. And I always find it amusing that our brother Dwayne, and he speaks the truth, and it's true with me too, that I think just about every other time that he stands up here and preaches, and he probably does it wherever he goes, he brings back the past of how much fear that he had to stand in front of people and talk. And I still have that fear. But with the Lord, and when we know that we're doing something that is right, and that is good, and that is fruitful, and it is to glorify the Lord, we know that we don't have to have that fear. We know that we don't have to feel like we can't accomplish it, because we know with God, all things are possible. So, I put in here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And we hear a lot of times in the gospel how to fear God. And this is the fear here that the Lord tells us that he doesn't give us. But the fear that we should have towards the Lord is a respect. It's a respectable fear. It's like a respect that I have for my elders, that hopefully my children have for me. But it's a fear that is showing reverence towards him. But that fear that he does not give us is something that the world wants us to have, that we shouldn't stand up and proclaim the Lord's love for each and every one of us, that we should stand up and tell the testimonies of what the Lord has done in our lives, how he has changed us, how he has made us a better person, how he has drawn us towards him so others could be encouraged in doing the same. And that's important as a Christian for each and every one of us to be able to understand to not have that fear, but to put your trust in the Lord when we come to a Wednesday night prayer service, that if the Lord is upon our heart and he's calling us to pray aloud, that we should do that. That we should pray aloud because the Lord called us to do that. And the Lord has touched me in my life here in this pew, one of these pews, to do that. And I took that footstep towards him. And he blessed me for doing that. He has blessed me many times over, paying our tithing. You know, we had a fear as a family when we were financially struggling that we weren't going to be able to make our bills. We didn't know what we were going to do. But we put our faith in the Lord, and how richly rewarded my wife and I and my family were for doing so. I always look back at that and look at how much we were struggling at one time. And no matter what, we were paying that tithing, and no matter what, we were paying the bills. And it was mathematically so close that in normal situations it wouldn't have happened. And the Lord blessed us, and it did. And I glorify the Lord for doing that in my life. And I look back, and I wanted to give an example of from the gospel. Deuteronomy 31:1-6. And this is when Joshua was getting ready to cross over the River Jordan, and Moses was speaking to him, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. And Moses went and spake these words unto all of Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And I look at that, and I look at what Joshua had before him, and it's amazing. The Lord and all his promises fulfilled them. And Joshua put his faith and his trust in the Lord, and all the nations that they conquered in doing so. And how neat that is. How immense this is for a whole nation, all of Israel, to go and to do this. And how simple and how little I feel when I look at something of this nature and how the Lord sees something this immense. But then again, he looks down at each and every one of us and sees something as little as a daily problem in our lives. He has that capacity. He has that ability. I can't understand. I can't fathom how he does it. But I feel so little in the sight of the Lord sometimes for what he does for his children and how little I deserve that at times and how wonderful it is that he still has his arm outstretched for each and every one of us when we're going through problems, issues, challenges, struggles, and stresses. So one of the things I wanted to also talk about is discouragement. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we could become discouraged, especially when we're on that fence and we're wanting to go this way, but the Lord's wanting us to go this way. You know, things aren't working out the way I want, but, you know, sometimes that happens for a reason. And I look at those things and the discouragement that people have sometimes. And I think about how richly we're blessed and how we should not be discouraged, but we should be focused on and proclaiming that which the Lord has done for us and to go with it. Let him mold us. Let him shape us. Let him give us that direction. Let him be our compass. You know, let's not think about those things that really are of our own carnal desire, but I challenge, once again, our friend and our brother, Jeff Holdham, he says this. a lot, and it really has sunken into me with this sermon. I challenge you to let the Lord mold you and to guide you this year. Not just this year, but throughout your life. Make that change. As difficult as it may seem, as you might be filled with that fear of that change, experiment with it. Take that challenge and do that for yourselves in your lives. So I wanted to read. We sung this song today. It was really nice to hear it because I didn't have a hymnal book at home last night. I really wanted to talk about this song, and it's Never Be Discouraged. And I wanted my wife, she typed me up these couple verses because I didn't have a hymnal at home, so I was thankful for that. But the verse 2 and 3, it says, never be discouraged if along our way disappointments meet us, tempting us astray. Closely cling to Jesus, ask Him for His grace, and in His words of comfort, find a resting place. And then verse 2, never be discouraged, patiently endure. God doth often test us, trials make us pure. Soon will come the reaping, then will joy will sing, praise the Lord of harvest, praise the heavenly King. Praise Him, trust the Father's word, praise Him, let His voice be heard. Praise Him, though the waiting long, praise Him with a song. And I really like though the waiting long part, because, you know, today, in today's technology, where you can get something off Amazon in 2 hours to be dropped off on your front porch, that's how we are in a society today. But that's important with the Lord, that we be patient with Him, that we wait upon the Lord. The Lord isn't a website that we go visit. There's a reason for His doings, and there's a reason why He wants us to be patient. And it's important that we practice that. And so I really think that this song here covers the whole spectrum of that discouragement that we can have in our lives, that we can really get a lot out of what the Lord gives us, whether it's in a song, whether it's in a testimony, whether it's in a Sunday school or a sermon, whether it's in a life experience. There's always something that the Lord can give us that we need to be looking for, that our eye is single towards that, that it's clear, that we're focused on what He has for us so we can see those things and so we can establish that close relationship with Him to be able to know the things that He has for us. Okay, I got another one here. It's burdens. You know, and this is when I opened up my sermon today, I was talking about, you know, looking back at 2015. And, you know, I don't know if sometimes that these burdens are, I think that they're there in our lives to be able to help us rely upon God. And I know that when we present our burdens before His throne, through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He lightens those burdens. Whether it's a loss of a family member, whether it's a physical affliction that somebody has, you know, these kind of things really strengthen us in our faith in the Lord. And we're all going to have these burdens. I see as I age that I see more around me that requires prayer. And in this world in which we live, we really need to be strong. And the burdens could be heavy, and they can get heavier. But I know that the Lord makes those burdens light. When we pray about those things and we lift each other up, the burdens that we have are still there. But we could be comforted in the Lord knowing that He has a plan and He has us in mind whenever times are difficult. And so with that, I want to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I also wanted to read in the book of Mosiah, chapter 9, verses 39 and 40. It says, and now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burden, that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God at all times, and in all things, and in all places, ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. And in all places and in all things, wherever we're at, we can be that light for God, no matter what. And how, if somebody else is carrying a burden, and we talk about how we express, how we show what the Lord has done in our lives, how that can touch somebody, even though we don't know it. I think that's the really neat thing when I'm in an environment where I'm not surrounded with my brothers and my sisters, and there's a difficult situation, and all I do is lift up the Lord in that time of need. And how I can see people's eyes raise and their ears perk up because they know, and the Lord is working with us to share that with them, and they know that the Lord can help. They feel that spirit. And whenever times are difficult, especially at work, it gets difficult on a day-to-day basis, having that calm and that peace that the Lord gives us when we're in a difficult situation, when we're carrying a burden, how He can use that to influence other people. And that's what the Lord wants us to do in all places that we go, at all times. If there's an opportunity, seize it. And that's one of the challenges. Seize the opportunities that the Lord has for you to be able to testify of His love, of His care, of His knowledge and wisdom to help us through those difficult times. The next one is temptations. We're all going to be tempted in 2016, 2017, 2018, and so on and so on. They're just going to keep coming. And a lot of times what I've seen is, as I draw myself closer to the Lord, that the temptations grow. There's more presented. As this world ripens in iniquity, as this nation does, the temptations are going to be there everywhere before us. And a lot of times when you feel that peer pressure, when you feel those struggles of people around you that doing those worldly things, that's when life gets really difficult. And those temptations get overwhelming, and they're always there. And it's difficult to be that soldier of Christ and to stand up for what is right and what you believe in and what the Lord has given his children. And that's the time that we need to understand this is where we make our stand. This is where our foundation is firm. As I believe it was Brother Brian talking about a church that they're building in Ethiopia or Kenya, and how some of the foundation wasn't firm, how it wasn't settled. This is the time when we're settled in Christ. And I always feel a calmness come over me when I'm about to stand up for what is right in the Lord's eyes. What He wants me to speak, what He wants me to say. And that's what I encourage each and every one of you, that when you get into these trials and these temptations and you feel that peer pressure around you, whether it's in college, whether it's in high school, wherever you're at, that you just stop and you think about what is right and you ask the Lord for you to have those words to be able to speak, to encourage others to do the right thing, and He'll give that to you. And it'll work upon your heart, and it'll work upon the hearts of the people that are around you. And I'm going to read in James chapter 1. I'm going to read 2 through 4, and I'm going to jump down after that. James chapter 1, 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." We all know that there was one that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. And James has given us a little sample that we can be perfect. And if we do these things, that we can accomplish that we can obtain that goal. And I really like the last two words of that verse, wanting nothing, because a lot of temptations come for the things that we want. It's all on our desires. It's all upon our flesh and those things that we desire to have within our carnal life. And so jumping down to verse 12, I'm going to read a few verses here, 12 through 15. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And it spells it out right there that the goal that we need to focus on is that crown of life. It's not a trophy. It's not something that we get to pin on our chest, but it's a crown of life. It's that eternal salvation with the Lord in His kingdom. And that's what we need to strive to accomplish. That's what we need to strive to achieve. And once again, you know, the lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when it is finished, it brings death. And that's a spiritual death. That's a death that is completely out of the presence of the Lord. And that's what we really need to be focused on. That's what we really need to be in tuned in, that we know and we let the Lord give us that discernment on what is right, what is wrong, what the temptation is, the resolve to it, and how we can bring others up to bring them out of the darkness and into the light. And I know I've been saying a lot of things here tonight that are doom and gloom, but really, I hope that it was something that would strengthen each one of you, because, you know, I look at life, and it's all on perspective, how you look at your life. And I think my perspective is getting better because my life is going by a lot quicker. But I wanted to put this up here. Life challenges should make you better, not bitter. And, you know, that's a very simple statement, but it's so easy and it's so simple to be bitter about things. And I don't understand why it's a struggle to be better when things are bad. And it's something that is a learning experience. And to have patience and to see the outcome of when you go through difficult times and how things are actually better because of that, because we put our faith and our trust in God, how the silver lining on the cloud, so to speak, is there always with the Lord when He's in us, in our lives, in our heart, and He's a part of us, and we have ourselves close to Him, and He is close to us. And I have... Oh, no. Uh-oh. Oh, it didn't jump again. Oh, it did. Okay, good. Hey, I'm getting it. I think out loud a lot of times. I'm sorry. I put this picture up here because, you know, and that's... I think a good perspective on life, and I think that no matter what, if we do come into situations that are a struggle, that are difficult, we always got to keep this in mind, and that light at the end of that tunnel is the Lord, and how important that is, how for us to have that understanding that, you know, even getting up in the morning and putting our feet on the floor could be very difficult at times because you know what you're in for that day. It's just going to be one of those days. And the first thing that you can do before those feet touch the floor is say a prayer. And the Lord's going to carry you through. And you go through that day, and you do the best that you can as the Lord would call you to do. And it's amazing how you can accomplish and overcome any obstacle that's put in your way. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, Paul is saying to the Philippians that he presses forward. He presses. We got to push. We got to use physical strength. We got to use spiritual strength. We got to use mental strength. We all have that within us. We can't let our adversary win that battle. We have to use those things that the Lord gives us. And a lot of that is wisdom, knowledge, patience, and the capability to endure. And we do that by putting our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him. And He'll help us through those struggles. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of God or of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. And the light of Jesus, manifesting that to our brothers and our sisters and foreign nations, our friends and our family, our co-workers, our fellow students, our peers. That's what the Lord calls us to do. That's what He wants us to understand, that we're going to have all these problems and difficulties in our life. But when we let that light shine that Jesus has given us, how that's going to have a difference, how that's going to have an impact on each and every one of us, and how we're going to be able to overcome. Matthew chapter 5. Yeah? Okay. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And that is Christ speaking. And I think that's a good challenge for each and every one of us. That's the ultimate challenge, is for us to try to walk after Jesus as He walked here on this land, to follow after those things. This is what we should be striving for in our lives. This is the goal. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's going to be difficult. And to know that Jesus has came and lived and died and was resurrected for each and every one of us to be able to wash our sins clean, what a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful gift that nobody else can give us. Only one man can give that to us. And that's Him right there. And that's what our challenge is in this life. And I want to read in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to the navel, and marrow to the bones. This is what will strengthen us. This is the nourishment that we need, is to rely upon the Lord, and all the worries and cares of the world, to not rely upon that. But He'll give us the strength, and He'll give us what our physical and our spiritual body need to be able to overcome. So with that, my prayers to each and every one of you. That's funny. Okay, well, my thoughts and my prayers go out to each and every one of you, and may the Lord be with you in the years to come. Not just 2016, but take that challenge. Experiment with the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him what it is that He has for you and how you can use Him in your life, how He can use you in His life to be able to help you do the work of the gospel, to be fruitful for Him. And please remember to give Him all the glory and the honor, because He even gave His Son for each and every one of us. And how richly we're blessed to be able to have the opportunity to have this time to share His gospel and the love that He has for His children. So may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your time.